chapter 6, verse 33, we're dealing with a subject called the forbidden fruit. And the more I get into it, the Spirit of God keeps giving me stuff to completely lay a foundation within the people. And, you know, today I just thought I was going to be able to just get up here and just cut loose, but I got to lay some more foundation. Amen. Now I'm going to be me, but I'm going to lay some more foundation. I don't want to forget this right here. There's some ways that you can help the church. This right here is specifically for daily bread. Everybody say daily bread. This is a change jar. They're putting this in different locations throughout the city. It'll be on the back table. You got change in your pocket, amen. Instead of throwing it on the table and scraping it in the drawer like I do, just kind of stick it inside this right here. And as they get filled up, we're going to consistently leave that back there. There's a teaching. Somebody say, full of God's love. If you're going to be a believer, any kind of effective believer, you're going to need this message right here. You know, I talked about the other day, last week or a week before, I talked about the four levels of intimacy. And it's really a powerful message. The first level is the level of association, where you and I join and we connect because of common interests. The second level, amen, is the level of, there's association, then there's communication. The second level is communication. That's where you and I begin to exchange information and thought, amen. You never communicate with people any length of time who you don't have common interests with. If you notice that, the people that you spend the most time around is because you have something in common. So you call those associates. But then there's the third level, which is the level of participation. And that level is the level where you start giving into the relationship, where you're no longer there to receive, but you're there to give. That's where that friendship starts to develop. But the last and final level is where most people don't make it to. The last and final level of levels of intimacy is the level of revelation. So there's association. Somebody say association, communication, participation, and then revelation. The last one is where we uncover who we really are. And most of us never really move the walls or the covers of the mask in our life to allow people in far enough to see who we really are. And I'm going to tell you why. I said, Father, I said, Lord, I said, change me. He said, Son, when you ask me to change you, he said, I respond to you by giving you relationships. Because you and I were created to be interdependent. That means that we were created to be connected to one another. Remember, isolation. Somebody say isolation. Will result in amputation. When you cut yourself off from the people that God has assigned to you, it causes spiritual death. Remember, God told Adam, he said, when you eat of this tree, that day you will surely die. The word die or death means to be separated. So when you cut yourself off from people that God has assigned you to, you won't grow in that area. You might grow in other areas, but here's an example. And I'm going to the message, but this is important. Why does the love of God have to do with that? Because when you get to the last stage is revelation. Somebody say revelation. Once I uncover me and I show you who I am, you're going to see the flaws that come with it. And I'm going to see your flaws. And it requires us to be full of the love of God to stay connected. Because generally when people start seeing flaws, we disconnect. And guess what? When we disconnect, nobody grows. Come on, somebody say amen. That's why we have a problem with marriages and stuff like that, because she don't think the way you think and you don't think the way she think. You know what I mean? She don't put the toothpaste top on, but you put it on. You leave hair in the sink. She don't want no hair in the sink. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what I mean? You ball your socks up. You put them up under the bed. She don't want them up under the bed. I'm not trying to reveal to y'all my life. I'm just trying to keep it real. Amen. Amen. So just me and my wife, because of my wife, there's areas in my life that I would not change, but because of being with her, if I value my relationship, then I have to change. If she values our relationship, then she has to change. So it requires you to be full of the love of God, because immediately, almost innately in us, when we see each other's weaknesses, we cut each other off. Don't we? Be honest. We cut each other off. So in order to grow, you have to operate in all four of those levels, and you can detect right where you are. Amen. So you can get this message, full of God's love. Amen. Here's one called the force of faith. This is really good. There's a whole bunch of other ones back there. And then all of this is going towards helping us get, you know, plumbing and stuff done around here. Here's my CD. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, my pastor is a rapper also. He was a rapper before he's a pastor. These are some other artists that are on our label. This is Brother Shep right there from Mississippi. Give Brother Shep a hand clap. Amen. Mr. G Reality and Judah Man. And y'all probably saying, well, where's Pastor Sturgis? Pastor Sturgis is going to be the best one yet. We just finished probably about 2 weeks ago his music video in its entirety. And I know it's our video that we're in, but I'm going to be honest with you. I've never seen the real live props that we have in that video in any gospel rap music video to date. We have a real courtroom. We have a real jail. We have trap houses. We have police car. All the whole, I can't even say it all, but I mean, the video is real. Actually, we in a church also, and it's really good. So, you know, the video will be out, and we'll keep you guys updated on that. Also back there, I know y'all came to hear the word, but I just want to show you what we got back there. We got a New Believer's Bible, New Testament. These are going for like $2 or $3. All this stuff goes towards the invitation, same thing, New Testament. There's a Spanish New Testament if somebody would like to have one of those. They're back there. And then we got Bibles back there. Little small, you know, King James Bibles. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. So that's how you can help us back there to get things, continue to get things going in the ministry. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Y'all ready for the word? Yes. My God. So today, I'm going to continue laying the foundation, and I will bring out some things concerning the forbidden fruit, but I have to lay this foundation properly, because if I don't lay it properly and I don't line upon line, precept upon precept, show it to you in the scripture, the other things will kind of look kind of flaky to you, and you won't completely understand what I'm trying to say. So I have to lay foundation properly. Amen? Is that all right? So today's message is going to be entitled, A Supernatural System. A Supernatural System. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I want you to turn there right quick. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We're going to do a little Bible teaching today, and as the Spirit of God leads us, we're just going to move forward. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now, before I read this scripture, I want you to know that Jesus was talking, and he was laying a foundation, talking to his disciples based upon two different systems. He's talking about the system of the world. Somebody say the system of the world. And then he's talking about the system of God. Now, the system of God is the kingdom of God. You need to understand that the kingdom of God, or God's system, is not subject to any system. Hear what I'm saying? It would take me too long to go there and show it to you, but in the book of Daniel, we find out end time prophecy is that this kingdom that Jesus sets up, according to Isaiah chapter 9, this kingdom that he sets up is a kingdom that is without end. And this kingdom that he sets up will trample underfoot every other kingdom of the world. As a matter of fact, it's quoted like this: the kingdoms of the world have now become the kingdoms of our God. So, there is two different systems simultaneously operating in the earth. Now, you've been at this church any length of time, you know that to be true, but I'm not going to keep plowing on that because I have to show you some things. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, this is how the world system operates. So I want to help you. The world system operates. They are concerned about what they're going to put on. Somebody say, what they're going to put on. They're concerned about what they're going to eat. Come on. And they're concerned about what they're going to drink. Jesus said, listen, because you don't operate according to that system, don't fear. He used a bird, and he used the lily of the field, and he showed them. How often do you see birds with shovels in their hands? How often do you see birds laboring and toiling? He said, you don't. He said, these birds don't do none of that, but yet look how well they are taken care of and how well they are clothed. And then he turned around and he said, look at the lilies of the field. He said, look here. He said, not Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He said, so how much more? Somebody say, how much more? He said, how much more would your heavenly father take care of you? Why did I pronounce that three times? Because the reason why we have a problem believing that God will take care of us is because we see the image of a father distorted. We don't see fathers in the home, and I'm not preaching on this, but I got to bring it out and for you to understand it. So when there's no fathers in the home and you don't see the provider, somebody say provider, you don't see the protector, come on. You don't see those things happening. You don't see peace. Why are they important? Because if there's not a father in a home, a young man will rise up with a wrong interpretation of what it is to be a provider. So now he's on the block trying to sell dope, or he's trying to hustle because he didn't have no parameters or no guidelines or no boundaries or no limitations built in his mind by a father. Come on, somebody say amen. Or a young woman, guess what? She'll have no peace in her life. She'll always run around looking to the left, looking to the right, trying to find the absence of the feeling that she should have had when having a father. So she'll look for it in this man and look for it in that man and look for it in that man, but she'll never find it. She'll never have peace. Why? Because that only comes from a father. Come on, somebody say amen. And then both of them will lose what is called protection. That's why we always fight our own battles when the Bible says, listen, you don't have to fight your battle. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. But yet, because we have a distorted image of what it is to be a father, when we take that and equate that to God, your heavenly father, what we do is we write him off. We write him off. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, you might say, Pastor, I don't write God off. I come to church, I sing in the praise team, and I do this and I do that. Well, you can tell if you write him off on your response to the circumstance when you're in the circumstance. Because guess what? Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been mad. But guess what? Every time I get mad and I get angry at people, the Holy Ghost say, I told you, love them. He said, love ain't a feeling. Love is a lifetime commitment. So you walk in love. If they resist you, love them. They talk about you, love them. You better hear what I got to say. But because we don't have that image of a father, we automatically equate that to God. And so we can't see him as a provider. Come on, somebody say amen. So you got to understand that Jesus was trying to teach them first most that God loves them. Your heavenly father knoweth what you have need of. Your heavenly father knows what you have need of. Come on, say, my daddy, he knows what I have need of, even before I ask it. See, now you got to factor in trust. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path, or he will make your pathway straight. See, we're talking about a whole nother realm of living, a whole nother system, a whole nother way of thinking, a whole nother way of walking, a whole nother way of talking. And guess what? It sounds so good to some people, it don't even, or it can't even be equated as true, because it sounds too good to be true. But guess what, baby? God is too good. You better catch what I'm saying. He's more than enough. He's not just enough, but he's more than enough. I love the scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It said, God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? I like the scripture that says this right here. And God, according to the riches of his glory, watch this right here. He hath given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and excellence. See, the promises of God are not down here. They're way up here, baby. You better catch what I'm saying. Deuteronomy 28 says this right here. He said, if you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. He said, when you do that, he said, I'm going to set you up on high. You better hear what I'm saying. He said, above all nations. Well, how come we ain't experiencing some on high above all nations stuff? Why? Because we got to start leveling our eyesight and our heart and our mindset with what God's word says, and start stepping out of that system of the world and start walking in the system of the kingdom of God. Amen. So verse 33, he said, but seek ye what? The kingdom of God. The word kingdom there means the rule. Somebody say the rule. The realm. The reality. The reign of God in and through mankind. A lot of people miss the B part. We believe it's the rule of God. We believe it's the realm of God. We believe it's the reality of God. We believe it's the reign of God. But the B part is that all of that is in and through mankind. If God is going to get, listen, I'm going to tell you something. See, if First Corinthians chapter 2. I got to show you something. Go down to verse 9. This is important because I got to lay this foundation before I say anything else. Because if I don't lay this properly, it'll sound too good to be true. Come on, somebody say amen. Look what it says right there. It says, but eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Now raise your hand if you love him. Now watch what it says. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Amplified Bible says the bottomless things and the endless things of God. See, how can we limit a bottomless God? How can we limit an endless God? I'm trying to show you something. This is why we limit him, because our natural sight cannot comprehend his bottomlessness. Our natural hearing cannot comprehend his bottomlessness. We can't even have it enter or conceive in our mind his bottomlessness. It is all revealed by his Spirit. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. Now, if you go down to, I think it is verse 11, the Bible says that the Spirit that we receive is the Spirit that shows us everything that has been freely given unto us. It's the Holy Spirit. You keep going. He said, watch this. But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. He said, for they are spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. That means in order for you to understand God and the things of God, you have to be spiritual. I'm going to tell you how Bishop Oyedepo said, and I was teaching my daughter this yesterday. This is what he said. See, when you hear a bird chirp, you think the bird is chirping. But to another bird, he's communicating. When you hear a dog bark, you think the dog is barking. But to another dog, he's communicating in his own language. See, the Spirit of God has a language. You better hear what I got to say here. Spiritual things have to be understood in the language of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul called it the language of the cross. You got to hear what I'm saying right here. See, you and I have to be spiritual in order to understand spiritual things. Because if we're not spiritual, then spiritual things are going to look foolishness to us. That's why when an anointed man of God who is spiritual gets up and says spiritual things, people interpret it as foolishness. Why? Because they're not spiritual. I didn't say how many Bible scriptures you know. Do your homework. Jewish kids know the Torah, know the Pentateuch before the age of 12. They memorize the whole, all major, minor prophets, and the whole law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the whole Pentateuch. They have it memorized. So it has nothing to do with memory of Scripture. I know pastors who are Baptists, and no disrespect, not filled with the Holy Spirit, and they know more Bible than what I know. But it's not about how much Bible you know. It's about how much has been uncovered and revealed to you by the Spirit of God. See, you got to understand that when Adam fell from revelation down to information. And we are in an information-driven society. So everybody have to be able to analytically put it together. And if it don't make analytical sense, then it must not be God. But baby, every time I see God move, God always move in unorthodox ways. It don't make no sense to spit in your hand, rub it in some mud, and put it in somebody's eye to get them healed. Baby, that's foolishness. But yet, it's spiritual. It don't make no sense to tell a man who dressed up in thousands of dollars worth of clothes, if he want to get healed from leprosy, to dip yourself in a swamp. It don't make no sense. When it's three leprous men sitting outside of a city, and it seemed like all of Israel been beaten down, and one of them say, why sit we here, lest we die and go in and reap the harvest. It don't make no sense. But down the Lord said it makes faith. See, we can't apologize for being spiritual. Holy Spirit revealed to me, and I've told a number of people here, why persecution comes and why the American church hasn't received great persecution yet. This is powerful. Because John chapter 10, we see a story of Jesus, a kingdom man making no sense. He walks in on the Sabbath day into the temple. He's in there, and there's a man who's been bound for 38 years. 38 years. See, religious people are more concerned about their laws than people. You got to hear what I'm saying. They're more concerned about being right than helping people. You got to hear what I'm saying. So 38 years he's bound and he's laying there, and Jesus walked up and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And then the man said, "I want to be made whole." He said, "But I don't have nobody that when the water is troubled to get me and push me over into the water." Jesus said, "Man, forget all that mess. Take up your bed and walk." On the Sabbath day. But according to the Torah, the law of Moses, you don't work on the Sabbath day. You rest on the Sabbath day. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they were sad, you see, they followed and found Jesus. And when they found Jesus, this is what they said. They said, "You are doing something incorrect on the Sabbath day." And Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." I'm going to reveal something to you today. I'm going to reveal something to you today. We and the Father are one. You don't believe it? Read John 17. Jesus said, "Father, I pray that they be one, even as you and I are one." He said, "Them in me and me in you." Draw the circle. Big circle God, little circle Jesus, other circle us. I and the Father are one. That's the greatest mystery of the kingdom of God, because we still pray to a God that's in here to do something out here. When you don't realize that God, listen, we ain't waiting on God. God waiting on us. Ain't no need complaining about the neighborhood. Let's do something about the neighborhood. So here's the reason of the persecution. He said, "I and the Father are one." Somebody say, "We're one." And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees grabbed stones and they picked them up and they went to throw them at Jesus. And he said, "Hold up a minute. Before you stone me," he said, "for which good work do you stone me?" I'm going to give you a revelation today. He said, "Which good work do you stone me for?" Somebody say, "Which good work?" They answered him clearly. He said, "For a good work we do not stone you, but because of blasphemy. You being a mere man, consider yourself to be equal with God, or a son of God, or the image of God." See, natural people can only see themselves as mere men, but spiritual people realize that we are the manifestation of the sons of God in the earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, "Son," he said, "persecution will always follow the person who knows who they are in Christ." He said, "For a good work, I do not persecute you." That means you can feed the hungry. You can clothe the naked. You better catch what I'm saying. You can give all your money to the poor and you still won't get persecution. I told you, Bill Gates do that. He don't get persecuted. But the minute a pastor stand up and say, "Baby, lay your hands on that sick person. Cast that devil out of them. Speak the word. Call things that be not as though they were." Everybody want to say it's a false prophet. You better hear what I got to say. Jesus got persecuted for the same stuff. Ooh. Amen. So, the foundation is that God's word will always look too good if you're natural. Now, listen, I can't do anything about your natural way of thinking. All I can do is present the word to you. It's up to you to take that word and dissect it and get it in you, and you praying in the Holy Ghost and building yourself up upon your most holy faith, you confessing the word, you speaking the word, until you grow up. Because everybody that come to church ain't spiritually mature. And now we're in the season where God is raising up pastors where we can mature the body of Christ. Because Satan knows that his time is short. And that's why he's throwing all kind of stuff at our kids and our households and our families and our jobs and our business and everything. And guess what? The earth only answers to the image of God. I prove it to you in scripture. Go to Genesis 1. Go to Genesis 1 and 26. The earth does not answer to your cries. The earth don't answer to your need. The earth don't answer to how, what side of tracks you were on. The earth don't answer to your bloodline. The earth answers to a man or a woman of God who was made in the image and the likeness of God Almighty. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. It's the same thing as Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. The word dominion and the word king are squoze together to make the word kingdom, but it really is king's domain. So Adam was a king. You got to catch what I'm saying. Adam was a king before God gave him any type of job to do. Because, you know, it saddens me to hear pastors say, oh, the first thing God gave Adam to do was to work. Man, shut that mess up. That's not what he did. If you look in the Garden of Eden, it had nothing to do with natural toil. Toil did not come until after the curse. He put the man in the garden to dress it and to keep it. He didn't have a rototiller. He didn't have a hoe. The word dress means to worship, and to keep means to serve. He was in that garden to guard, 8104, the same word used to guard the word that God had spoken to him. He was to grab that word, guard it, bring it to fruition and perpetuate it outside of the garden throughout the whole entire world. That was his assignment by God. His assignment wasn't to grab a hoe and start planting seeds. That wasn't his assignment. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Now, I'm not saying we're going to get rid of that, because if a man don't work, he don't eat. But when you focus more on the natural side of things, you lose the validity of the spiritual side of things. So the earth only responds to the image of God. Look at what it says here in the New Living Translation. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. To be what? Like us. To be what? To be what? To be what? To be what? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you're like God. You are like God. Come on, you are like God. You are like God, your Father. Now I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. See, I'm laying this foundation because we can't even talk about the monetary system of the world until you really believe that you are who God said you are. Because you can only use your faith in something that you know it to be God's will. Here's what I mean. You won't pursue healing if you don't believe you can be healed. You won't pursue a good marriage if you believe that this must be the Lord's will. You'll never pursue it and fight. That's why Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. See, some people, they get doctrine twisted, and they start saying everything is predestined without an understanding of predestination. So when they say predestined, they think that you and I are just a bunch of puppets walking around, you know, turn left, turn right. No. How can we be puppets and be free, have free choice at the same time? You can. You can. Because people who are natural can't understand that God is infinite. He's all-knowing. He knows the end from the beginning. So, therefore, just because he knows your end from the beginning don't mean that he was the one that made your end to be what it is. You and I, life is choice-driven. That means we are where we are because of what we think, how we respond, how we talk, what we act upon. Come on, somebody say amen. So once you get that truth in your spirit, now you realize that, guess what? I can do something about this. Generally, when there's something on the inside of you and you're passionate about it, it's because God put that seed on the inside of you. He wants you to be a problem solver concerning this whole issue of poverty, concerning this whole issue of fatherlessness, concerning this whole issue of degradation and desolation. He wants you to be a problem solver. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, turn there. Look what it says. See, here's the problem right here. It says, the God of this world has blinded. Back up. Somebody say, God. Notice this is a small case G. It ain't talking about God the Father. It's talking about God, Satan, God, Lucifer. The God of this world. Look at the word world. The word world there is ionos, which means time span. Somebody say time span. Okay, the God of this, you got to understand, with every time span, there are fads and there are different things that are popular. And what happens is that the world system sways everybody its way according to those fads and according to that system. Do you understand what's going on here? It says the God of this world hath what? Blinded. Blinded what? The minds of them which... I want you to circle that word believe, because we're going to beat this thing in the ground today. He said he blinds the minds of those which... Believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel. Now, I want you to put your hand up here. This gospel ain't no little chicken head get cut off in the cave gospel. This is a glorious gospel. The word glorious means doxa. It means the reputation and the appearance of God, the brilliance of God. You got to hear what I'm saying. The wealth, the weightiness, the heaviness of God. Don't ever bring God or his gospel down on the level of your condition, your circumstance, your situation, your marriage, your kids. You cannot measure God on the level of what you're going through. His gospel is glorious. That means when the gospel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is infused in a person's life, glory gonna come out. I don't care if you like it or not, baby. Guess what? You can't be next to the God who owns the whole universe and keep being the same person that you are right now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Become a friend with Bill Gates for long. Pretty soon you're going to start driving like Bill Gates, talking like Bill Gates. Well, if you think you can do that in the natural, how come you can't spend time associating with the Holy Ghost? Taking time with the God of the universe. He going to rub off on you. Tell your neighbor, he going to rub off on me. See, that's what Isaiah 10 and 27, thank you, Holy Ghost, said. It said, but in that day, the yoke shall be destroyed and the burden will be removed. Why? Because of the anointing. The word anointing, it means to be rubbed in, smeared in, poured on. You got to catch what I'm saying. You start associating and investing time with God the Father, he start rubbing off on you. Next thing you know, your family like, what's different about you? See, he starts on the inside. And guess what? Once it's on the inside, you can't help but manifest it on the outside. See, when I first got to church, I used to wear Value Village clothes. I remember I had a big butterfly collar pink thing when I was serving Pastor Healy. And I had some black pants. And I had on some old shoes. They were some old real pointy toe shoes. Looked like the Wicked Witch of the West shoes back in Wizard of Oz. But I went up inside the dope house where my cousin and them was all. Somebody said the dope house. I went up in there and they was all there with the triple beam and they had the dope on the table. This is just my testimony. They had it all on the table and I walked in with my Bible and I'm going to evangelize them. And they was like, what's up, Claude? I said, man, what's up with you? They like, how you doing? I said, man, I'm blessed. They said, man, you blessed them. How come Jesus won't buy you some clothes? That's what they said to me. And they all laughed at me. But guess what, baby? Ain't nobody laughing now. Because like Sister Julie said, I didn't just go through the process. I allowed the process to go through me. I sat back and drank me some spiritual prune juice and let all the crap go. You better catch what I'm saying. So ain't nobody laughing now because the same person that was laughing ate like I don't know, probably about a 8-ball. He stuck it in his mouth, ate it, he went crazy. I'll go over his house, he have his hood over his head. The same people that was laughing at me. You better catch what I'm saying. Ain't nobody laughing now. Because I allowed the process to work through me. So I'm trying to tell you something. Satan is the god of this world. But you and I are in this world, but we're not of this world. That means we are not subject to this world. We're not subject to its circumstances. You got to hear what I'm saying here. And that's why I had to call this a supernatural system. Because we are in the time. Hear what I'm saying here. Brother Gerard told me that he spoke to an Arabic man. Am I telling the truth? And the Arabic man told him, said, everybody better be aware because the system is shutting down. Now, you can see it hiccuping now because people who have paid into Social Security all these years, now they're saying there ain't no guarantee it's going to be Social Security. People, you got to catch what I'm saying. Bridge cards, all the whole system of the world. See, you got to catch what I'm saying. The Bible said, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. God don't want you putting your trust in no man. That's why he raises up men and women of God to get you to start walking and living and seeing a whole nother realm, a whole nother system. Because guess what? Why you think people are going to take the mark of the beast? Because they're going to be natural minded. You got to catch what I'm saying. If you're natural minded, you ain't going to sit back in faith and wait for a bird to come and fly and give you a McDonald's. But guess what? If you're in faith, you ain't going to compromise. You be like Shadrach, Meshach, and that one bad Negro. I'll stay inside this here thing. And guess what? I don't care if the music play. I don't care if you offer me neck bones, fat back. I don't care what it is. I ain't going to eat and I ain't going to serve your God. And see, that's what we're trying to build. You hear what I'm saying? We're trying to build and fortify some real Christians. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Some Christians that can fight. Some ones that can stand up in the face of the adversary and say, no, I can't go for that. No, no, no can do. I can't go for that. Amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. The second thing he said, aim at, strive for, and seek the kingdom. And then he said, righteousness. See, I got to lay the foundation. Somebody say righteousness. Okay. Now, the word righteousness, we just skip over the word righteousness, but we're not going to do that because the word righteousness, it means righteousness which belongs to God or God-like righteousness. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I am righteous as Jesus is righteous. Now, you got to get that. Now, you do your homework for yourself. I'm laying a foundation. When you study the word righteousness, you're going to look up that word, and it's going to tell you the definition of that word. The definition of the word righteousness is equity. You do your own homework. It's the word equity. Anybody who understands anything about equity, the word equity means equality. Equality. Now, I'm going to give you an image check. Pastor Sturgis, come here for a minute. Let's see here. You got one of them flashy watches on? You ain't got one on today? You don't? Okay. Amen. So I'm not going to use Pastor Sturgis. I need somebody. Who got some flashy? Who got like a really expensive wedding ring or something? Who got one on? Matter of fact. No, I need somebody who got a really expensive wedding ring on. Raise your hand. Somebody get. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Turn around. Now raise your hand up and show everybody your ring. Now, I'm going to teach you something. Don't ever forget this right here. Remember, stay right here. Stay right here. Don't move. Amen. See, I'm pastor. I'm pastor mode right now. Don't move. But anyhow, I'm just joking. Amen. But listen, watch this right here. Here is the law of exchange. Remember, righteousness means what? And equity means what? Equality. See, we can't, watch this. We can't walk in that supernatural realm if we don't understand these things. So I'm going to help you understand this right here. Now, show them your ring again. Okay, now I'm going to ask her a simple question. Can I buy that ring from you for $5? Why? No, I'm trying to show you something. Why? How much is it worth? I'm not trying to get in your business, but just hypothetically. $7,000? Amen. Catch her after church. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. So can I buy that for $100? Why can't I buy that for $100? Because what I'm offering is not equal to the value or the worth of that. I'm about to teach you something here. Don't you let no lying devil tell you anything different. God is the ultimate Jew. The Bible says that you were bought with a... In order for him to purchase you, he had to have something or someone equal to the... I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show you something here. See, and religiosity will rob you. See, I can't buy that because what I offered was not equal to the value of it. So when it came to purchasing you, God bought you with Jesus. You can have a seat. I'm trying to show you something. See, religion will tell you, and I'm going to smack it. Religion will tell you, no, you're not equal to Jesus. But the Bible says, those who he foreknew, he did also predestinate that they would be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You got to catch what I'm saying here. So the God of this world will blind your mind to keep you from seeing who you are in Christ, because he knows once you recognize I am that thing, I am the image of God. Guess what? He knows that image is a prelude to dominion. That's why when people say I'm a gangster, I say you ain't no gangster. I'm a thug. You ain't no thug. I'm not trying to shoot them down. You know what I mean? I'm this and I'm that. No. You're not that. You can't identify yourself with what you do. That means what you do, when it's gone, you don't know who you are. You're lost. But baby, guess what? I identify myself with and in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm bold about it. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I count everything else as dookie. Why? That I might win Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness which is of the law, but a righteousness which is of faith in Christ Jesus. That I might be found in him. Are you catching what I'm saying here? So this is the foundation. Understand this is a different system. Somebody say a different system. You and I are supernatural people. Come on, say that one time. Say, I am a supernatural being. See, to some people, because we've been in the mere man status and the mere man mindset for so long, it's too hard to believe that. But I'm telling you right now that you have the God of the universe living on the inside of you. Why do you think I've been teaching it? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the partnership of the Holy Ghost be with you all. There's nothing, no one, no situation, no circumstance, no bondage, no sickness, no disease, no poverty can stop a man or woman of God. You show me in the scripture where any man or woman of God was subject to natural circumstances. Not just Jesus. Remember, Moses didn't have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of him. And he raised the rod and the Red Sea walled up. A prophet of God. This is powerful. His body was dropped on another dead man's body. There was so much anointing in that man, that prophet's body, that when that body hit that dead man's body, boom, the body woke up. That's old covenant. See, here's a revelation. God asked Ezekiel a question. He looked at his circumstance. He said, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? This is Ezekiel 37. And Ezekiel's answered just like most Christians who don't understand who we are. He answered and said, only you know us, God. Come on, smack that in the face. Come on, just smack it in the face. I'm going to tell you why. Because we have been trained to think that our ignorance is a form of humility. And we've been trained to think that when we talk like that, that God honors that. God don't honor when you talk down. He honors faith. You hear what I'm saying? What is faith? It's believing what he said. Now, Lord, have mercy. He said, can these dry bones live? And then as soon as he said, Lord, only you know, he said, listen here. Prophesy to these bones. He said, you talk to them. Some of the circumstances that are going on in our life, that we keep being subject to year after year, year after year, year, bad relationships, bad this, bad that, because we won't talk to them. God has given you authority to talk to him. Holy Spirit can't move unless you talk to him. See, people get mad when they heard John G. Lake said that it seems that God has bound himself to the prayers of other saints. So John Wesley said that. That's because John Wesley was spiritual. And he understood that God don't have legal access in the earth except through an earth suit. That's why Jesus had to come in the flesh. In order for God to operate in the earth, a man or a woman got to be submitted to his word enough to allow Holy Ghost to flow through them. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Glory to God. I'm gonna wrap this up right here. So we got to have an understanding of kingdom. Somebody say kingdom. And then we got to have an understanding of righteousness. See, if you don't believe that there's another system that is operating simultaneously, that is the system of God, and it's a supernatural system that causes you to be supreme and above the world system. Watch what I'm saying here. If you don't understand that, you can't flow in the things of God. And if you don't understand righteousness, here's a scripture just to give you a little trigger. James chapter 5 says that, it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Amplified says, of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Why didn't he just say it like this? The effective, fervent prayer of a man of God avails much. He didn't say it like that. Remember, the scripture is written systematically and in order. Every word means something. Why would he make it say righteous man? Because if you don't have an understanding of righteousness, it will cripple your prayer. I'm trying to show you something. If you don't believe you have a right to pray, then guess what? When you pray, it will always be based upon, oh God, I just thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done. And I'm just an old worm in the ground, and I'm nothing and no one. But because of your blood, hallelujah. Ah, Lord, I believe, I receive. Guess what? God ain't answering that kind of prayer. But when you get up and say, in the name of Jesus, I got a blood-bought right, because I'm in covenant with God Almighty for answered prayer. That ain't you ordering God. You ain't ordering God. The Bible said, come, let us reason together. He ain't telling you sit down and argue with God. He's telling you, listen here, let's be co-laborers together. Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Get that word inside of you. Faith come. Now release it by faith. Go get it by faith. Put your hand to it by faith. Walk on it by faith. That's what he's talking about. You hear what I'm saying here? It's a whole nother level here. We're talking about a supernatural system. The system of God. That's what we're talking about. I'm just throwing them out there. See, when the Holy Ghost was teaching me this 10, 12 years ago, I wasn't hearing nobody preaching because most of the preachers that are out there preaching now, I didn't trust them. Now I trust them because the same voice that spoke to them is the same voice that spoke to me and still continues to speak to me. So it wasn't their deficit, it was my deficit. So now I honor them because I realized that the same God that told me told them. 2001, Creflo Dollar got on TV and he said, this is the most powerful revelation I ever received, that man is equal to God. He got crucified. He got pulverated. Every name he could be called, he got called it because he's spiritual. See, Satan gonna keep you blinded. You hear me, brother? He don't want us to know who we are. Because once you come into who you are, you say, wait a minute, I got an inheritance. I've been out here toiling this whole time. I've been hoping and wishing, wishing and hoping. Hey, yeah. You know, I've been doing all of that. But the whole time, it was mine. Already, healing is mine. That beautiful wife is mine. That handsome husband, mine. You know what I'm not talking about me. I'm just trying to show you. Your inheritance. Kids that walk in the power of God, mine. Hear what I'm saying? The fruit of my womb is blessed. I ain't got to have a miscarriage. And you know, some people had miscarriages. You know, but I could take you and show you in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it's a part of the curse. Don't get mad at me because I'm the deliverer of the message. I'm just trying to show you something. Well, did God curse me? And I had no, God didn't curse you. You got to step into your identification in Christ and say, you know what? I'm going to tell you a story. A woman came and there was a person who was in partnership with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and the woman had a miscarriage. And her husband said, no can do. I can't go for that. He said, no, you not. That baby is alive. Guess what? The doctor had said the baby was dead. But he spoke and said, no, that baby is alive. 9 months later, baby popped out. I'm trying to show you something. You are in a supernatural system. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I'm gonna wrap it up. Romans 1. Turn to Romans 1. I'm going to show you a scripture to everybody, no matter what belief system we have. I'm going to show you something powerful. You got just a little bit more time for Pastor to get it out? I tell you, I want to smack. I want every person in this room right here. You know what's going to happen? I decree it right now by faith. You will no longer take your mind and allow it to gravitate down towards natural limitations. I decree it now by faith in Jesus' name. Anytime the devil step up in your household and tell you what you can't do, you're going to whoop that word out and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Resilience. You're going to fight. You know what I'm saying? You're going to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Watch this right here. Everybody know this scripture, but I'm going to open it up to you. Say, Pastor, going to open it up. I want you to look at Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. You will never look at the word of God any different than, watch this. It says, so, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. Somebody say the gospel. Don't get it twisted. The word gospel means good news. Watch this. Now, take Luke chapter 4, take Isaiah 61. I'm going to show you something here. When a preacher is anointed, he'll preach good news. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach good news. You done heard of enough bad news your whole life. You don't want to hear bad news. Matter of fact, shut bad news off. Psalm 112 says that he will not be afraid of evil tidings. Evil tidings mean bad news. Because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? See, either this word is true or it's not. Psalm 91 says that no evil will befall us. No plague come nigh our dwelling. So why does evil befall us? We have to change the way we think concerning our abiding in the secret place. And that'll take me too long to teach it, but I'm just trying to show you something. The Apostle Paul went through all kind of stuff. He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is powerful. He said, good news. Somebody say good news. Verse 16 said, I am not ashamed of the what? What does gospel mean? Of Christ. For it is what? Now, don't just read it so fast. Catch what he's saying. The gospel or the good news is the power of God. Unto what? To everyone that what? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Watch this, 17. Therein is the what? Of God what? Revealed from faith to faith. Now tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, righteousness is revealed. Now remember, I'm going to show you something right here. The Apostle Paul called righteousness strong meat in the book of Hebrews. Strong meat. Babes in Christ can't receive this. Righteousness is strong meat. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. This is powerful right here. Why do we become sin conscious? Because we got to awake to righteousness. If I am asleep, my eyes are closed and I can't. But when I awake, my eyes are open and I can. Ephesians chapter 1 says that we would receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got two sets of eyes. When he tell you open your eyes, he's not talking about your natural eyes. He's talking about the eyes of your inner man. Spiritual eyes. So that you can see. That means there are people sitting on pews that are paying tithe who can't see. They're still blinded by the God of this world. So righteousness has to be revealed. The word revealed is the Greek word apokalupto, which means to take the cover off. That means it's already there, but it's covered up. So righteousness is a mystery in the kingdom of God. Once you attain it and once you see who you are, the devil can never make you go back. You'll stop taking no for an answer when you realize who you are in Christ. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm just walking it up. Watch this right here. So here's what's going on here. The first thing I'm going to talk about is gospel. Gospel means what? The Bible says the gospel is the power of God. 14:11, the word power means dunamis. Somebody said dunamis. Now, don't get it twisted. He ain't just using words here. When he say dunamis, the word dunamis is what Jesus used in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you'll be a witness. Somebody say dunamis. Whenever you see the word dunamis, it's where we get our word dynamite from. Explosive power. Explosive power. Now watch this right here. Dunamis means inherent power, ability or capability. Now one of the synonyms to the word dunamis is 14:13. And I know that's kind of over some people here, but I'm trying to show you something here. That word means one who exercises dominion and authority. When you get this dunamis power on the inside of you, you have what Adam had in the beginning. You have what Jesus had when he walked the earth. This is why he wasn't subject to the world system. Watch this right here, okay? He said the gospel or the good news is that power. The good news is the dunamis of God. Unto what? Salvation. Now, you got to get a different picture of salvation. So I wanted to get it out so we can just lay it right because we're going to end in a minute, but I got to get this to you. Salvation is the Greek word soteria. Comes from another Greek word sozo, which means to save. Somebody say to save, to deliver. To preserve. Watch this right here. And it's used of material and temporal deliverance. That means salvation is not just heaven. Salvation is material deliverance here on earth. And temporal. You got to hear what I'm saying here. So salvation ain't just I'll fly away. Salvation means to be whole. It means to be complete. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So the gospel. It's good news. When that good news is taught to you, it releases power that causes you to get whole. I'm walking it up to you. See, that's why the devil don't like this right here. Because watch this right here. If you are addicted, then you are not whole. But when I preach the gospel, it releases power. And that power makes you if the devil trying to divorce you and split your household up and your marriage, all I got to do is preach the, and that gospel will release, and that power will make you. See, the devil wants you to think it's about going to heaven, but guess what? Heaven ain't the destination for believers. The earth is. You better listen, don't get scared of what I'm saying, but the Bible says the power of the world that's going to come. We always trying to go, but God is trying to come. I'm trying to show you something here. So this gospel should change you right now on earth. If it wouldn't change us, then why would God not just save us and take us away as soon as we accept Jesus? Why? Because he's more concerned about that little bitty 30-second conversion you had. He wants you to change. My God. Can I give you a little revelation? I was driving to Detroit one time. Y'all could go ahead and just... Listen, I'm going to give you permission. Everybody in here, put this on Facebook. I said this. No, for real. This is powerful. I'm going to give everybody permission here. Put it on Facebook. I'm driving to Detroit. Gerard was with me. And like, I'm in the spirit. I'm praying in tongues. Your pastor prays in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. And the Holy Spirit speak to me. And I'm like talking about this whole thing about heaven and all this stuff like that. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, son, do you know what? If you were a knucklehead here in Detroit, if you go to Alabama, you're going to be a knucklehead in Alabama. I'm going to give you a revelation. If you are a knucklehead in Alabama and you change your geographical location and you go to Alaska, you're still a knucklehead in Alaska. I'm trying to show you something here. I don't know why people think God going to wave a magic wand and just change your knuckleheadedness just because you move from here to heaven. I'm trying to show you something here. I'm trying to show you something. The Bible said the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. Don't let me get you scared because there was sin found in heaven. Satan was in heaven and the Bible says sin was found in his heart. So don't get religious on me. See, you can be in heaven and still have a wrong mindset. I'm trying to show you something. Oh, see, why you think he got us down here trying to teach us? Does that make any common sense? Just because you're at your house and you a box head, you come visit my house, you're going to still be a box head. This is how we used to say it. You can take a person out the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of them. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yes.
See, and what the devil did is, I'm just going to smack it. Bonnie, he done sold us the lie of the pie in the sky. He done sold it to the church. So the church has been so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. We're not getting involved in education. We're not getting involved in business. We're not getting involved in the medical field. So all the people who aren't supposed to be in charge are in charge. Why? Because we talk about, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah. Why you got hallelujah when you die? You don't even say hallelujah in the church service. All of a sudden, you ain't going to say hallelujah when you die. You ain't said hallelujah one church service. Come on, somebody say, is this the gospel? Is this the gospel? Have you ever asked Jesus why the wait? Well, I got the nerve to ask him, Lord, why the wait? He's making us. He sees a picture of us way bigger than what we see. You see what I mean? We've been beat down with sickness and disease and poverty and lack and all that stuff. And we just like sweating like, you know, we walk through heaven like this. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. But have you noticed that people are starting to wise up now? Scientifically, people are starting to understand that if I speak a word, I only got to know Jesus. All I got to do is speak a word, and the molecular structure of my body changes based upon the word that I spoke. Scientists is figuring this out. They're figuring out I could talk to my blood cells, and I can command white cells and red cells. I can command phalanges, tarsals, metatarsals. You better catch what I'm saying. I could speak to my tibia and my fibula. I could speak to my phalanges. I could speak to my vertebrae. I could speak to every part of my life, and guess what? That structure gonna line up to what I say out of my mouth. That ain't no scientific discovery. It's in the Bible. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So the gospel is the power of God under salvation. So salvation means wholeness. Somebody say wholeness. It don't just mean heaven, it means right here. See, what good is it going to be to go to heaven and our marriage is all jacked up? We ain't sleeping together. Come on, amen. We ain't, don't want to sleep with each other. Come on, hey, I'm sleeping with my wife. Go put that on Facebook too. I sleep with my wife. Amen. I'm just telling you, man. I read that Bible scripture and I start confessing. It said, taste and see, the Lord is good. I'm trying to tell you. Can I preach it, G-Rod? Come on, somebody say amen. I'm tired of the devil messing with my money. Tell your neighbor, say my money. See, because that's why most people ain't in church, because of their money. But guess what? You know what I'm saying? We got to take back what belongs to us. Amen. Okay, let me move on. I went over to the forbidden fruit. Let me move on. Last scripture. Somebody turn there. He said the gospel will release power. Watch this. Now I want you to circle this word here. It will release power and get you whole if you what? Keep reading it. To those who what? Come on. Say the word. Say the word. Say the word. Now I'm going to teach you what I taught my son Jason. In the church we have made this word believe so vague. When a person says, I believe in Jesus. Watch this right here. That's not specific enough. Now don't shoot me down until I'm done with my exhortation. See, the Holy Spirit showed me, he said, Claude, your belief has to be directed in the area where you're being challenged. So that's why I can go outside and I can find 90, I can find 100 people, 95 of them will say, I believe in Jesus. But you'll find out none of them go to church. None of them know the word, but they believe in Jesus. The Bible said the devils believe and they tremble. I'm trying to show you something here. This is powerful right here. So our belief has to be directed somewhere. It can't just be Pastor Sturgis. It can't just be I believe in Jesus. They asked me, well, why is there so many different religions within Christianity? It's because of the divided concept of beliefs. If I believe he's a healer, I can receive healing. But if I don't believe he's a healer, I cannot receive healing. Not because Jesus don't want to go and give it to me. My belief is a direct determination or determining factor of what I receive. I'm trying to show you something here. So if a person do not believe in a certain area, they cannot receive from God in that area. And I'm going to show it to you in scripture. I'm going to end right there. Because we read right here, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What is salvation? It's the end result. Somebody say good marriage, good kids, nice car, nice home, healthy in your body, wealthy. Tell your neighbor, say nothing missing, nothing broken. Now, this is how God, I'm going to show you this right here. John chapter 15. Go down to verse 7 and keep reading. And it says, when you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you. And then he said, this is how my Father is glorified. So if God is going to be glorified, he said that you bear much fruit. So when you and I are fruitful, guess what? It glorifies God. Not just the fruit of the Spirit. Fruitful in every area. I can walk in love towards RJ and never even walk in love towards my wife. I'm trying to show you something right here. Watch this. I can believe that Jesus is a deliverer and then not believe that he's a healer. But when I get healed, then that's fruit. And it glorifies God. Listen, if I've been going down to Focus Hope every day of the week, getting my farina and my mashed potatoes, and my big block of cheese, and all of a sudden one day, 5 years later, you see me and I'm driving, you know what I'm saying, a nice car. I got me maybe a $75,000 house. It don't even matter. People going to look and say, whoa, he used to be here. He got born again and now he's here. And that does what? It glorifies God. Now, to whatever level your belief is, that's between you and God. See, some people believe God for $1 million homes. That's not me. You give me $1 million home, I'm going to sell it and buy 4 or 5 houses for single mothers. That's just me. That's my personality. But I'm not going to condemn nobody else who does that. If they want to walk around the house and be them and their wife lonely in a 5,000 square foot home, that's them. That's them. I'm not mad if that's what they want. They want a swimming pool inside, that's them. You know what I'm saying? I don't even like to swim, but I'm just telling you, you know, that's them. But I'm not mad at them, but this is me. You know, God, you go, y'all church go buy me a $70,000 car. I'm going to say, thank you so much, church, but can I sell it? I'm just trying to show you, that's just me. Now, when I get to the level where I think that $70,000 is appropriate for me, then maybe I'll drive that. So I'm not condemning anybody else, but I'm showing you, it's to whatever you believe. And I'm going to end right here. It's whatever you believe. Okay, now watch this right here. So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, my believing is directly connected to my receiving. Now, I'm about to end this right here. Right here. Mark 9:23. Turn there right quick. Mark 9:23. I promise y'all I'm going to end right here. Y'all going to be like, man, I went to that church. We didn't get out till 4 o'clock. Are you learning something today, though? Come on, get a little of hand clap. We got to treat church like college. We got to get empowered to go out and do. Devil messing with our households, messing with our families. You hear me, Brother Bill? Messing with our kids, messing with our money, messing with our health. I'm tired of that mess. You see? And that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to get straight angry, righteous indignation. You know what I mean? You know, we got to get mad at the devil. We got to get mad at the circumstances. Don't get mad at God and say, God must not love me. He don't bless me. No, no. Get mad at the devil because he's the enemy. I'm about to finish it right here. Mark 9:23. On the count of three, let's read it all together. Where's that? Mark 9:23. Count of three, let's read it all together. 1, 2, 3. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. How many things are possible? Now, why are they possible? I'm going to tell you why they're possible. Because faith is the power of God that is released in the system of the kingdom of God. Faith is that which you and I live by in the kingdom of God. I can't teach you on faith, but the Bible says in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. What is the Apostle Paul doing? He's separating two different systems. He's letting you know, I know that you're in this world, but you don't live like that. You have another source. In the world system, money is, watch this, money is the currency of the world system. But in the kingdom of God, faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. So if you don't have money, but you have faith, you have everything you need. Because all things are possible to him that believes. That means in the kingdom of God, my possibilities are determined by my believing. In the world system, hear what I'm saying here. And I know I taught this before, but I got to keep laying this foundation. In the world system, possibilities have been measured by what he or she has done or not done. So if somebody else didn't do it, now they made that thing that they could not do impossible. So when you said, I'm going to do that, they said, that's impossible. See, you're not subject to that. I am not subject to that. It is not impossible to have a thriving, growing, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, Bible confessing, 5, 10,000, 20,000 member church in Adrian, Michigan. Not people running around sitting on the pews, you know what I'm saying, trying to run the pastor, telling them you preach that and I don't. No, forget all that crap. You better catch what I'm saying. I'm talking about some men and women of God that aren't afraid to walk up to the dope house, the crack house, walk down the street, lay their hands on the sick, go in the hospital, and not be afraid of what's my... Listen, we prayed for a man that had cancer, and we was in the hospital, and I'm going to tell you the truth. We went up in the hospital about 12 deep. Somebody say 12 deep. We walked up in there, and he was sitting there, and he was breathing heavy and breathing hard, and no life in his body. And we walked up in there, and the doctors were standing outside the door with so many people in the room that they couldn't shut the door. We had to move and maneuver the wheelchair, and we got in there. I didn't pray no, God told me, he said, son, don't pray no little friendly prayer. Don't pray no people offensive prayer. So guess what we did? Everybody was there. We laid our hands on that man in the name of Jesus. Curse you, spirit of cancer. Now watch this. Right there in the middle, tongue talking. Moshe Breka, bro, in the hospital. Doctor standing outside the door like this. This is the testimony. Now, here's the not so good news. 3 or 4 days later, he died. We said, Pastor, your prayer didn't work. No, that's not true. Because as soon as we prayed, the man's countenance changed. Immediately, he stood up. He was clapping his hands. Watch this right here. After we left, the brother told me that for 3 days straight, he was moving, gesturing, talking loud. His strength and his energy came back. But you got to remember, every single day you're hearing from the doctors, you only have 2 hours to live. 7 hours to live. And see, if you're not a student of the word of God and your faith ain't built up, it'd be hard to fight that. I'm trying to show you something here. But I saw another one where the guy wasn't even alive to hear people talk about him. And we walked up in there, me and my wife and Sister Leanna Rowe, and they told me he's gonna die tonight. And we walked up in the hospital, and he was laying, he was swollen up, big as me. And anybody know the brother I'm talking about? He was skinny. He was swollen up. His whole face was red. His lips was purple and red. He had a towel wrapped around his head. The skin of his body was red hot. Am I telling the truth? We walked in there for a half hour. We worshiped, sang songs, and prayed over him. The next day, they said he woke up. Now watch this right here. Then they called us back and said that his radiation levels were high or something. The whole church got together. Y'all remember it? We spoke the word, called back, his radiation levels went down to zero. I'm just trying to show you something. See, possibilities are determined by what we believe. Okay? Now, I'm finishing. I know I've said it 100 times, but I'm sorry. Look at verse 14. Can I just finish it, y'all? Look at verse 14 here. This is powerful right here. Verse 14, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluting him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath the dumb spirit. I'm going to tell you something real powerful today. And 18, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, foameth, gnasheth his teeth, and pinneth him away. And I spake to thy what? Circle disciples there. Now, I told you. I didn't tell you. I'm about to tell you right now. Circle disciples. In Middle Eastern culture, when they say believe, they equate that with lifestyle. But in America, Western culture, when we say believe, we equate it with mental assent. I'm teaching you something. That's why we get no power behind our believing. That's why if you go to Africa, type in raised from the dead in Africa and watch how many literal occasions you see people on camera get raised from the dead. I'm just trying to show you something. Because our believing is, or our receiving is directly connected to our believing. But in Western culture, we've been so intellectualized, we have strengthened our analytical working of our mind. That way everything has to make sense and not make faith. So when I say I believe, that means I mentally assent to what you're talking about. But that don't mean my feet gonna follow what I mentally assent to. But in Eastern culture, when I say I believe, that means, oh, Jesus walked on water, a whole tribe run across on water. There's documented stories where a whole tribe of people get born again and run across water. Because there was, watch this, there was no doubt between what was said and what they did. That's why Jesus, watch this, Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, I'm gonna pull it to you tonight, today. What things soever you pray for, when you believe, you receive them, you will have whatever you say. He said, what things soever you pray for when you believe, you know. But the word, watch this. He said, and doubt not in your heart. I'm pulling it together. Somebody say doubt. The word doubt is two Greek words, di krino. Di means to, or to divide. Krino means to judge. So when he says to doubt, it means that God says healed, and all of a sudden you make a second judgment. I'm trying to show you something here. Maybe God didn't say that. That is what the word doubt means. It also means to speak disagreeably with a contendant. In this case, God is our contendant when we speak against his word. So watch this. James chapter 1. It says that, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. The person who doubts, same word, diakrino. Now, watch this right here. Jesus is talking to the man. And he said, I brought my son to your what? To your disciples, right? That they should cast him out and they could not. Circle the word could not. This is why you got to do etymology as a pastor. Because when you look up the word etymology means word study. When you look up the word could, it comes from the Greek word ischew. I-S-C-H-O-U, ischew. That word ischew means the power of God. I'm trying to show you something here. It means to be strengthened. There's four different type of powers. Somebody say four powers. There's the ischus power of God, which is God's strength, God's ability. There's the dunamis power of God. There is the exousia power of God. And then there is the dead-raising, indomitable, irresistible, kratos power of God. Ephesians chapter 1, okay? In this case, the word ischew is a derivative from the word ischus, which means the strength of God, the superhuman strength, endowment. Somebody say endowment. So he brought his son to the disciples. This is key word, disciples. And they could not get him fixed. They were not endowed. Now we're going to find out why they weren't endowed. He brought them to his what? Disciples. The word disciples is the Greek word mathetes, which means one who adheres to his master's teaching and makes it his conduct of living. But for the sake of busting the devil in the mouth, we're going to take it even further. I want you to just keep your finger there and turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Just keep your finger there because we're going back to the story and we're going to end. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, this is why we don't have a second service on Sunday. I tell you, I want to give it to you today. I want to give it to you because I'm telling you, you're going to walk up out of here and you're going to remember this stuff. And the Holy Ghost, when that devil try to come at you, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, going to raise that standard up on the inside of you. And you won't take no for an answer no more. Now look at this right here. This is in your Bible. And it's in my Bible. Let's read verse 40 together. 1, 2, 3. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the purpose of discipleship is to become like the master. In the case of the word of God, who is the master? Jesus. Are you his disciple? So what is the purpose of your discipleship? To become like the master. So now we can see why he brought his son to his disciples. Open your spirit up. He didn't need Jesus to be there because he knew that the purpose of discipleship was that the disciple would be like the. So when he brought him to the disciples, he expected to get the same results. I'm trying to show you something. But yet they couldn't. This is Holy Ghost teaching. Yet they could not give the results that Jesus could give. And we're going to see why here. I'm trying to show it to you right here. The Amplified Bible. A pupil is not superior to his teacher, but everyone, when he is completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected, will be like his teacher. Now say that three times. I am just like Jesus. I am just like Jesus. I am just like Jesus. According to the scripture. Come on, according to the scripture. Pastor Claude has showed me the purpose of discipleship. So if Jesus healed the person, the disciples could heal the person. If Jesus raised the person from the dead, the disciples could raise them from the dead. The purpose of discipleship is to become just like the master. Now watch this right here. They could not get the guy healed because they lack God's ability, they lack God's strength, they lack this power. And then Jesus said a powerful statement here. And here it is right here. What did I say right there? Brought him to his disciples. Where is it at, y'all? Straight with the people. Which one? 19? He answered them. Oh, here we go. Let's go back to 18. And wheresoever he taketh him, No, the guy's talking to him. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, foameth, gnasheth with his teeth, penneth away, spoke to his disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Verse 19, he answered him and he said, now watch this. It seems like Jesus is cold right here, ain't he? I mean, the guy done brought his son to the disciples. They couldn't heal him. Jesus didn't turn around and say, well, you know what? I understand you guys couldn't heal him. Let me show you how it's done. You guys can't do it because you're not me, the Son of God. You can't do that. So that ain't what Jesus said. What did he say? He said, oh, faithless generation. Now, let's be some good English students. I got a 15-year-old daughter. When my wife gets in that booty about her not making the bed, it's an indication that she's capable of making the bed. I'm trying to show you something here. We're laying in our plane. You would never require something from your kids that they are not capable of doing. So why would the Lord Jesus correct them? Now get Charlton Heston out of your mind. Oh, faithless generation. That's not what he did. Jesus was thug. I'm just trying to tell you right now. You read the Bible. I got a message stirring in my spirit called The Real Jesus, and they're going to really love that one. But Jesus was gangster. Jesus, I mean, he had a different kind of personality. You know what I mean? I mean, he did stuff that nobody else thought about doing. They said, you can't heal on the Sabbath. He said, stretch forth your hand. Now, what you think about that? Who are you to forgive sins? Which one you want me to do? Forgive his sin? Tell him to get up. But guess what? I forgave his sins. Now, get up. He was obstinate. So here he says, oh, faithless generation. Okay, the word faithless, 571, means to be without faith. It means to be unbelieving. It means to see something as unachievable or incredible. That means that in your mind, it is not possible. Now watch this right here. I'm trying to show you something. He said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, fell on the ground, and wallowed foam, and he asked his father, how long has it been since he came into him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is the question of most believers. Lord, if you can do anything, Lord, you see what I'm going through. Lord, you know what I'm going through. You see, it's been through my whole family. I'm tired of going through this. And Jesus' response was what? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. 24, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried, rent him sore, came out of him, and he was one as dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by his hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, look at the revelation right here, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but fasting or prayer and fasting. Now, let me just show you something right here. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the Bible is written systematically and in order. Remember, there's no numbers, there's no chapters in the original writings. So watch this right here. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, Jesus said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the devil. Power over all the power of the devil. So why does it seem like they were powerless here? And then he turned around and said, this kind only come out by fasting and prayer. Now, I'm going to tell you what my belief is concerning this scripture here. Okay, we have different, it's divided in theology. Some people believe he was talking about you have to pray and fast to get the devil to come out. But that would be Jesus speaking out of both sides, because he gave us power over all the power of the devil. So it's not an issue about the power. It's an issue about unbelief. I'm trying to show you something here. Because our receiving is directly connected to our believing. So our fasting and our praying is what, you don't fast to move the hand of God. You fast to become more sensitive to the direction of God and more conscious and more aware of his presence. So my fasting ain't gonna cast the devil out. My fasting is gonna cast unbelief out. Because when I fast, I'm going to become more aware and more conscious of God's ability in me. Come on, somebody say amen. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 3, I think it's verse 20, says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I'm trying to show you something today. You can stand to your feet. I'm done. I'm trying to show you something today. Our receiving, say this, our receiving is directly connected to our believing. Imagine everybody in this church here today completely shut their mind towards the limitations of this world and what it said we could not do as believers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about the statistics concerning marriages, the statistics concerning incarceration for our kids, the statistics concerning teenage pregnancy, the statistics concerning fatherlessness. God's power has to be directed towards those areas. That's the whole purpose of this whole message right here. It's not just enough to say, "I believe in Jesus." That's too vague. Watch this. To believe in Jesus is to believe in everything he said. Can I drop one more on y'all? This right here. This is going to make you think right here. You know, I was watching a movie called Tekken. It kind of jumped on. I like Kung Fu. You know. And I was watching this movie, and at the end of the movie, the old man who created Tekken, he said, "I am Tekken." And when he said that, it just shot through my spirit. Because I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, why so many belief systems?" And I can hear the Lord saying, "I am Tekken." Somebody gonna catch what I'm saying in just a minute. I said, "Lord, why?" And then he painted this image in me. And you can take it however you want to take it. The requirement of every pastor who ministers the word of God and the standard of every pastor who ministers the word of God should be Jesus. This is powerful what I'm about to tell you right here. Because this is why we have division. If Jesus thought we needed to pray, then pastors ought to think we need to pray. If Jesus thought we needed to speak with new tongues, then pastors need to think we speak with new tongues. Hear what I'm saying here? Mark chapter 16. If Jesus think that we can lay hands on the sick and he was the standard, then guess what? Then pastors ought to see that as a standard. I mean, how many people agree with me? Hear what I'm saying here? There's a reason why I'm saying this right here. Because if you lower the standard, you create confusion and division. When Jesus left off his authority to his apostles, the disciples, every last one of them did what he did. How do we lose it? We know we lost it in the Dark Ages, Catholicism, Constantine, the whole, you know, son of perdition stuff, or whatever we want to call it. We know that. But just because people change don't mean God change. This is important because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "I beg you that we speak the same things, that we have the same mind, the same judgment, there be no division among us." Why? Because those are the things that create confusion within the body. Are y'all catching what I'm saying here? You can only receive based upon your believing. Are you seeing that? So if we agree with what Jesus said and allow him to be the standard, amen, not our tradition, not our religion, then we can receive and appropriate what he promised in every area of our lives. So let's do this. If I'm your pastor, I'm giving you my heart today. I would never get up here and give you something that I know I didn't hear from the Holy Spirit. And I'm giving it to you not to get something from you. I'm giving it to you because my job is to equip you and empower you so you can do what he tells you to do. So I poured out myself today, and I'm asking you, go home, meditate the word, find those areas in your life that the enemy has been limiting you, and you tear down those walls by your faith. Build your prayers and your confessions up. Meditate the word every single day until that thing on the inside of you becomes stronger than the thing that you're going through. You hear what I'm saying? Young women, you need to meditate the word on what kind of man you want in your life. All my young ladies in here, you don't just wait for something to blow by like the wind. Because sometimes, you know, the wind could blow and it could be a smell in it. You got to live your life on purpose. Purposely dig into the word of God and find the promises of God for your life. And stand on the word of God until you receive what God promised you. You hear what I'm saying? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Really quick. Everybody bow your head.